Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles. Isn't it wonderful to have a Bible? In Proverbs, the 19th chapter and the 22nd verse. You know, through the years, I've preached a lot of Proverbs verses. And we have a website called ProverbPracticals.com, and you can see a lot of those messages on that website. And also, some of the Proverbs messages are on the church website. And pray about the church website. I've got some problems with it, and I've not been able to get it up. There's an error that needs to be found, and the people that are supposed to fix it are working on it. So do remember the church website. But this verse here, it's really an amazing verse, as the verses of Scripture are. But it's a verse that we fall behind so much in our lives, because it's deep. You know, we live at this level, but the Bible is so deep. And the truths of the Bible are so far away from the world. But this proverb reads this way: "The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." Now you read that and you say, oh, that's good, but it's deep, because it talks about the desire of a man, and it talks about how to be kind. How do you know you're kind? You know, you can do things because you're getting return on what you do. And this verse tells us that that's not an indication of kindness. So we're told by this proverb that a man's desire is equal to his kindness. That's what it says. Equal. If you want to know a person's kindness, you know their desire. And a man's kindness is revealed by his longing to do for others. What have you done for others today? I was down at Penn Air, and a lady opened the door for me. I said, "Thank you, gentlewoman." And she was kind of taken aback. How many times did someone say, "gentlewoman"? That's not this age. But have you done any acts of kindness today? Now, notice it does not say that a man's kindness is equal or revealed by his deeds or doings. Wow, what a shock. That's a shock, isn't it? Because the world equates kindness by deeds. But it simply says that the desire of a man is his kindness. Desire is an internal act, an act of the heart. Now we're getting deep. It is an act of the heart which influences the will of a man and moves the man to proceed to action. See the steps here. Desire. Action. Not action and desire, but desire then action. But action is not necessarily required to define the man's kindness. What is important is what takes place in the heart. For you see, the man or woman may not be able to perform that which takes place in the heart. You know, you may be someday bedridden, and you have limited strength to do anything. Now, does that mean you can't be kind? But if you don't have the strength to do it, you can't be kind? No, this tells us the desire is equal to kindness. The man or woman may be incapable of acting out the desires of his or her heart, as I said, but the desires are there. The want to is there. You know, Jesus Christ enjoyed watching people. I go down to the hospital every Tuesday to get my blood drawn. I have, in my heart, there is a lot of maladies. But I go down there and I go wait in the waiting room with the other people that are getting the same thing. And I watch people. Nowadays, people aren't interesting anymore because they're on devices, you know. And there's no indication of kindness with those devices. No talking, no saying how you doing today, that kind of a thing. They're strangers, of course, but I like to watch people. I like to watch them come in. I like to see their shapes. Oh, wow, you can see some shapes today. I wish I could take pictures of those shapes and post them on Facebook, but it's just amazing what you see today. But Jesus Christ enjoyed watching people, and we're told in the book of Mark that Jesus sat over against the treasury and watched how the people cast money into the treasury. You know, Bill and I have kind of a game going, and he comes and gets my offering, and he always looks down to see how much it is. But it's always the same, so it's just a game. I know he's not looking down and saying, well, he's pretty cheap. He's a cheap one, you know, he's cheap. No, that's not the way it is. But when they go around with the offering, do you boys go look in the offering and see how much it is? No, okay. You know, when I was a boy and I went to the Seventh-day Adventist Church with my mother, they had bags, offering bags, and they had a stick on the offering bag. And the ushers would go down and they would put the stick down the row, because the rows were short. And you could put your money in secretly and nobody would see what it is. Now, if you wanted to show off, you'd bring a lot of change and it would jingle. But paper money doesn't jingle. But Jesus noticed that many that were rich cast in much. Oh, Jesus was very thrilled about, no, he wasn't thrilled about that. It took a while for them to cast in the coins of the rich. They didn't go put it in secretly, but they put it in maybe one by one or two by two so people could see. It was easy to see their giving because the coins were many and noisy and perhaps shiny. I don't think they had paper money in those days. I think they were all coins. So it kind of made a noise when things were given. So the rich were easily noticed by their fine garments. And Jesus, as he sat and watched, looked at them But you know, at the same time, he reports to us in the scriptures that he noticed that a poor widow came and threw in two mites, totaling a farthing. Now, how many know what a farthing is? Nobody knows. One British farthing is 1/4 of a penny. Take out your penny and cut it in quarters and put that in the offering, two mites. So it wasn't anything to boast about. The widow didn't make a show of it because it was just two mites. Maybe tried to hide it. But it was not a sum that was noticed by anyone but Jesus. He told his disciples that this poor widow cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. Why? Why was that?
She gave all she could.
What? She gave all she could. Desire of the heart. Jesus Christ knew her heart. Now, I don't know your heart. I don't know why you do things as an act of kindness. It may come across as an act of kindness, but what promoted that act of kindness from the heart? Was it to receive something? Was it to be noticed? Jesus Christ knew the heart. So Jesus Christ knew the desire of her heart, which was her kindness. The Pharisee put it in with a big show. Why? Because he wanted to be noticed. But Jesus Christ knew that her desire was to cast in much more than all the rich men who were casting in out of their abundance. She probably thought, and it sounds like it was that way because Jesus noticed it, that she would have liked to give thousands of shekels, but all she had was two mites. His desire was measured by the portion of his riches that he gave, but hers was measured by the desire to hold back nothing but to give all. This is hard. This is hard to do, you know? Why do we do things? Why do we do things? Does it come from a desire of the heart to help others, to do something for others? So her desire defined her kindness, not the two mites that she cast in. You see what we're talking about? What's in the heart? God does not look at the amount of the gift given. He is not impressed by numbers. Man is impressed by numbers. You know, you hear on television that so such and such billionaire gave $20 billion to this cause. Wow, isn't that wonderful? It's so wonderful to be praised. Glory in him. What was his heart or her heart? Man is impressed by numbers because whatever man makes can be counted, but whatever God makes is beyond counting. A rich man may give an amount that is impressive to man, but be totally devoid of love and a care and a kindness for others. The gift may only be given to receive the praise and adoration of men. And I think we can ask, does God honor that gift? No, God always looks on the heart. You know, you cannot impress God by outward acts that are not in accord with the heart. Only men are impressed with the outward acts and reward the outward, but God desires a heart to be in accord with the outward acts. Anything else reveals a hypocrite. Anything else reveals lukewarmness. What does God feel about lukewarmness? What does he do? He spews it out of his mouth. You know, Matthew Henry, in his commentary, stated this proverb thusly: it is far better to have a heart to do good and a need to have the ability for it. You don't have the ability to do it, but you have a heart to do it, than to have ability for it and want a heart for it. Now, David, remember David, the shepherd, the king of Israel, had a heart to do good when he desired to build the temple. And God was true to his word when he recognized David's desire as his kindness, as we read in 2 Chronicles 6:8. But the Lord said to David, my father. Now, who was speaking here? Solomon. Solomon was speaking here because Solomon was David's son. Forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. See? Now, did David build the temple? No, David didn't build the temple, but God credited him with building the temple because he had it in his heart to build the temple. David was willing to build the temple, and God counted it as the kindness of David. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Same message. The heart is the key to kindness and not the act. The poor man who cannot give but desires in his heart to give is better than the man that professes kindness and gives but only because of personal gain. You know, this proverb reminds us to examine ourselves. It's so important to have this in our heart when we desire to be kind, and not to find some cause for self-esteem in our acts alone. I give, therefore I am kind, is not the correct conclusion. What is in your heart? For that is what God examines in the matter of kindness. Now, from George Lawson's, I'll be finished soon. From George Lawson's commentary on Proverbs, he wrote this: as God only knows the heart, the day of judgment will be the grand discoverer of the real characters of men. You read that and that's fearful. You know? It's fearful. Where did your acts of kindness come from? It will be revealed. Let us learn to value men by their hearts as far as they lie open to the judgment of candor and charity. We can't read others' hearts completely, but we can some. Rather than their professions and appearances, which are so frequently delusive. Now, that means giving a false or misleading impression. Now, let me ask you this. What have I been talking about in common lingo that the world expresses? What have I been talking about? Nobody?
Motivation? Yeah.
No, there's a saying. It's the thought that counts. Huh? We say, it's the thought that counts. And somebody says, yeah, you got a thought about it, but you don't do anything about it. That's what the world thinks. See? It's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts, emphasizes this, I got off the internet. It's the thought that counts, emphasizes that good intentions and sincere effort are more important than the material value or outcome of an action or gift. The phrase is commonly used to highlight that the intention behind a gesture matters more than the result. For example, if someone gives a gift that is not exactly what you wanted, the sentiment and effort they put into thinking of you are what truly matters. It is often said when a gift or action does not meet expectations, reminding the recipient to appreciate the thoughtfulness rather than the material aspect. See? That's the Christian way. We're to see that the gift may have come from a sincere heart, regardless of the gift. So, the phrase, it's a thought that counts, is a shortened version of an American proverb credited to Henry Van Dyke. But the Bible had it first, you know. Solomon had it first 3,000 years ago. The Bible's wonderful if you pay attention to it and not just read it so thoughtlessly. Amen. Father, thank you so much. You're so good to us to give us the truth, and how we don't measure up to the truth. But Lord, these folks that have come tonight, I believe, desire to grow in the things of the Lord and in the things of truth. And help us, Lord, to have kindness coming from a heart that expresses that kindness regardless of the result of that desire. And we thank you so much as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.